July 1st, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 42. Everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. It is episode 42, which is also the meaning of life, right, Steven?
42.
That's right. Steven is here with me, PCZ Steven, which stands for Pop Culture Zealot. I don't think I need to remind anyone of that anymore, do I?
Just yourself.
But you, yeah.
You seem to forget.
But you never know. Someone may, hey, I'm going to check out the show, let me listen. And they might go, what the hell does PCZ stand for? And they will never find out unless I, you know, tell them at the beginning. We also have the Mulberry historian here, Mulberry Bill. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm good. How are you?
It's been a rough week, hasn't it?
It indeed has.
It's filled with TV and reality shows and I don't have time to live in my own reality because there's just too much to watch during the summer months. Also, yes. We have newswoman Vanessa. How's it going, Vanessa?
It's quite spectacular. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And I want to tell you guys right now that before we go any further into the show, and I feel bad because I told this listener that I would plug his show last week and I forgot. And that's this guy who does a show called That's Good to Know. And an interesting thing about this guy, Bill, is he is from Pittsburgh. Him and his co-host are two guys from Pittsburgh doing a show called That's Good to Know.
That's
Anything
good to know.
From Pittsburgh is good.
That's right. That's your hometown, right?
Yes, it is.
That's Good to Know. Their show, they talk about comics and movies, you know, things that they want you to know about. And the show, they just started doing it. I think they're up to episode 10, and if you want to check it out, go to thatsgoodtoknow.blogspot.com and give them a check out. They're really cool guys, and their show's pretty decent, so I think you should check it out. Now, Steven, where were you this week?
I was in two different places. I was in Abilene, Texas, and I was also in Oklahoma City.
Two exciting places! So you go from Las Vegas to Abilene and Oklahoma City.
And now back to Las Vegas next week.
Awesome. Aren't you glad to be going back?
Back to Vegas.
You're going back for the reshoots on Transformers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now,
my little
with Michael Bay.
Now, Bill, I know that you saw Superman Returns this week, as did I. And mm-hmm. We will talk about that later on in the show. So we'll kind of tell people what we thought of the movie. Is that cool with you?
Absolutely.
And Vanessa, just whatever, just sit there.
Hang
right?
back and do what you do.
Yeah. Vanessa, are you doing all right this week? Yeah, anything exciting happen?
No. I actually got into a big discussion with somebody because I don't know if you heard that U-Bull is trying to get his hands on the Metal Gear movie.
Oh, so, Jesus.
Yeah, people are writing protest letters. And
they can't let him get a hold of that. You know what's funny is Bill, a while back, sent me a U-Bull interview done by IGN, that we got to check that out on after the show. What do you say, Bill? Wouldn't that be
absolutely
hilarious?
Absolutely.
So we'll talk about U-Bull on after the show.
I have a question, though. Last night on the chat, the question was brought up, you know, Mulberry Bill and his library there. How many movies does Mulberry Bill have over there?
Yeah, how many? Do you mean just like Laserdisc, VHS, and DVD, or just
and
DVD?
I don't know, just DVD. Just
how many DVDs does Mulberry Bill own?
Tell you the truth, I've lost count because I used to use DVD Profiler. Every time I got a new one in, I put it in, and I got lazy eventually, and I've actually run out of room. I'm starting to stack them on top of my storage and everything. Last time I counted was probably about a year ago, and I was around 900. So
nice.
You count a year from now, I've probably picked up maybe 300 more.
And how many of those are worth, like, watching?
You know what? To tell you the truth, when I first started buying DVDs, I just bought them because they were coming out, so I have a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But
do you own Roadhouse 2 with Jonathan Schick?
It's not out yet, but I'm waiting.
Awesome!
Yeah, I was
next
just
week, baby.
I've got
to get Octoman.
I mean, I've got a few myself. You know, I'm up in the 600.
We've all got turkeys.
600 range,
right?
I'll like dust them every month or two, and then, you know, I never let people borrow them. If they want to see a movie, I copy it for them. I don't give them the original.
All right, guys, so let's get into voicemail. We got some voicemail for the show. Last night, this voicemail came in about 4 a.m., and I don't know what the hell it is. Let's check it out.
Say that the road is no place for family. Right down the line between you and me. And loving a music man ain't always what it's supposed to be.
Sweet.
Girl, you stayed by me. I'm forever yours. Faithfully. Call me Vanessa.
That's so sweet and creepy.
Wow, this is like 4 a.m., so I'm thinking he was drunk off his ass or something.
He was thinking about me, okay.
He was playing that Journey album.
He's got Steve Perry beat, man.
Yeah, he does. That was beautiful.
Me.
So Vanessa, he's forever yours faithfully, so just give him a call.
I'll get right on that.
All right, here's another voicemail. Let's check it out.
Excuse me.
Why is everyone coughing?
Hey, Mulberry Dean, Credo again. There's a little update on my eye surgery. The recovery is coming along pretty good. Still taking some drops.
Seeing a bubble?
You know, I know. There's a lot more white showing now.
I've been locked in a trunk, guys.
So I'm not looking like a zombie now.
Well, that's good.
Go back in a couple weeks for another follow-up. Although, they said, there's a slight cataract that formed. And if that doesn't clear up, they might have to replace the lens. You know, the lens I was born with, they would take that one out and replace it with a plastic one.
Whoa.
And I don't think
Ionic.
They have zoom lenses yet. So I'm not doing any $6 million man stuff right now. Okay, so that's about it. I'll let you guys know in a couple weeks. See what they have to say. And if I got to go back for some more eyeball surgery. I will talk to you guys later. Hope to hear your next podcast pretty soon. I'll see you at the Friday Night Chat.
Good luck.
Oh, what the hell? Did he pass out? Was he, like, locked in the trunk or something?
Guys, I've been abducted, and I'm in a trunk, and I thought I'd call and see how you're doing.
I was like,
he was kidnapped. He gave up trying to kick the taillight out, so he decided to call us.
So thanks for that, Credo. That's crazy with his eyeball surgery, man. I couldn't handle that stuff. Good lord.
I couldn't even do LASIK.
He's talking about plastic and stuff? Wow. Cyborg guy.
Remember they had this radio show we used to listen to when we were kids. And they had this guy on there that we just tried to call in any time we could just to get on the radio. And this guy who was talking about some new form of...
Yes, I do.
I finally get through and my stupid question, what kind of plastic do you use? They're like,
the guy was like, plastic? They don't make them out of plastic. Thanks for your call.
We just wanted to get on the air.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Here's another voicemail. Let's check it out.
Look, guys. Hey, what's up, Jaster? Before I,
so
during the summer months, I understand that TV gets kind of slow. You know, all there is just reality TV mostly, and, other cable shows come out with good TV. But, you know, the show, the good shows are few and far in between, so I accept the fact that you guys will spend more time talking about stuff, you know, like Big Brother and stuff I don't normally watch.
But usually,
the highlight of my show, your show, I mean, other than the entertainment talk, is usually the opening. You guys talk about, you know, what's going on with you guys, and usually you guys put a lot of humor into it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
But, Jason, you know, when I'm on, you know, I download your show, I'm sitting on the bus, I listen to it, you know, sometimes I might be eating or whatever. And the last thing I want to hear when I'm eating is turd talk. You know, talking about your daughter walking up to you with a piece of turd in your hand.
She's 2 years
old.
You know,
I understand it's the perils of fatherhood and everything, but there's just certain things that, you know, we don't share on the air.
Sure we
you
do.
Know, like Bill with his masturbatory habits, you know, there's certain things you don't want to freaking hear when you guys
How
are
often
on the
do
air,
you talk know? About that, Bill?
You know, I work with Disturbed Kids. If you want to have turd talk, I'll give you turd talk. I got a kid that
start your own podcast
like
there, Ron. Okay.
Put him up along a row
turd
of
talk
a
with Ron.
Bathroom stall door. Say, hey, look, Ron, look what I did. Yeah. See,
turd talk
turd
with
talk.
The Ron do.
But
Ron doo doo.
I got nothing out of it. So
signing
you
off.
Keep up the good work. Late.
What the hell? Did he throw the phone in the river?
Maybe he was in the tub when he was.
I guess so. Well, thanks for that, Ron. Thank you. You know, I've had a couple of people tell me that they love the beginning part of the show where we talk about personal stuff. All right, we got one more voicemail. We got a lot of voicemail this week. Let's check it out.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I make a call in there late last night. I have no memory of it. That happened. I need to talk to you about this song situation. Okay. Is it true that you guys, I know you're making big money, you got your podcast sponsors now, and all that crap, but you need to listen to me. If you're making money off of Eugene, then Eugene needs his cut, his slice of the pie, because I know you're bringing in cash, man, P. Diddy style, big fat box on my back, on my songs, on my yub-yub, and all that stuff. So, damn it, you better send me some of that, Jason, or I'm going to come and...
Wow.
Well, it won't look pretty.
Oh,
let's
okay.
Let's just say that. Okay?
Yeah, we're getting all rich off of Eugene.
Stop exploiting me with all of your crap, okay? I'm feeling exploited and my heart hurts because of it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, I had a stroke when I was... 7 years old.
Wow!
To think about
it. Well, I just did, okay. Anyways, I want to talk about these gunshots coming at the end of the phone calls. I call it, I hear a gunshot. People think I kill myself. My mom thinks I'm dead. I don't believe in suicide, okay? I don't believe it.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, Eugene.
Except for maybe Mulberry, stinking Bill. You know what, you can just go and... Well, commit suicide, that's what you can do.
God.
The world would be nicer if you didn't walk around with your, hey, don't buy that DVD, a crochet, it's dumb. Buy this DVD with the guns and stuff. Wrong! Don't care about it. So, you know, I've had it. No more Mulberry for you guys. I'm not going to listen anymore. I'm going to give up on you.
Oh, sorry to hear
that. I'm going to quit you. You know what
don't
I mean?
Quit, honey.
One thing I wanted to ask is where can I get one of those Eugene Bot 3000? yum, and shoot. That's cool. I want one of those. Frito, you can get me one of those bots for making up my song. So anyways, I'm stopping listening, but, you know, I'll listen next show one more time.
Oh, okay.
This is also giving me a headache. Goodbye, Mulberry.
Oh, Jesus. Did he kill himself with a lightsaber that time?
No, I think he was a Sith.
He's a Sith. Eugene, I'm sorry to lose you as a listener, but you'll listen to next week.
Not.
So thanks for that, Eugene.
He'll keep listening.
Eugene, I just want to tell you right now, we're not making any money off of you, and we're not exploiting you. Well, maybe a little bit. We love your drops. You bring a smile to our faces, am I right?
Yes.
And sneezes to our voice.
Yes. Well, that's voicemail this week. Let's check out entertainment!
everything. Olsen, I want to see photos of him everywhere. No, I want the photos. Travel. Where did he go? Was he on vacation? If so, where? Gossip. Has he met somebody? Fashion. Is that a new suit? Health. Has he gained weight? What's he been eating? Business. How is this going to affect the stock market? Long term, short term. Politics. Does he still stand for truth? Justice. All that stuff. Lifestyle. Superman Returns.
Let's start with the big question. Where'd you go?
To Krypton.
But you told me it was destroyed ages ago.
It was. Well, astronomers thought they found it. I had to see for myself.
Well, you're back. And everyone seems to be pretty happy about it.
Not everyone. I read the article, Lois.
Yes, so did a lot of people. Tomorrow night, they give me the Pulitzer.
Why did you write it?
How could you leave us like that? I moved on. So did the rest of us. That's why I wrote it. The world doesn't need a savior. And neither do I.
Let's talk about Superman Returns, which came out this week. Now, I saw Superman Returns last night. And I got to tell you, a lot of people were hyped up about this movie. I was not at all. I wanted to see the movie, but I wasn't real excited about it. Superman is a character that I like and everything, but I don't get real excited about it. Like Batman. Like Batman Begins, I couldn't wait to see that.
Spider-Man?
Yeah, Spider-Man is my favorite. I can't wait to see Spider-Man 3, which I saw a trailer to, which looks awesome, by the way. Now, I went into Superman. I didn't read a lot of reviews. I knew what the Rondu thought of it, and I was ready to sit back and check it out. And now, Bill, you saw it also, am I right, sir?
Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon.
And you saw it in DLP, right?
Yeah, which looked amazing, by the way. The only problem I have, and I think it's with all theaters now, is they set the bulb setting so low on the projection that it's hard to see. It's like the corners of the screen are dim. And I don't want to see the reflection of the light sconces from the wall on the screen.
You know what? I went through the same thing last night.
That's a sign that the projection light is set way too low. Just stop being so cheap.
Right.
You know, and setting it on the low energy setting. You know, give us a little bit here. Because the opening of the movie is very dark. It's the classic 70s title sequence set with, like, you know, flying through a cartoony space atmosphere. But you could see the light sconce reflections on the screen.
Thankfully, I didn't even notice it till the end of the movie, like the last 5 minutes. And I was like, what the hell? And I even asked my wife, I was like, was that there the whole movie? And she said, what are you talking about? So she didn't notice it. I did. But thankfully, it didn't ruin the movie for me.
Well, I eventually forgot about it because I did enjoy it for 2.5 hours.
Now,
but once the movie was over, I was disappointed.
You were talking about the opening for a second. How awesome was the opening of the movie, the opening titles and all that?
At first, I wasn't real impressed because I thought maybe, hey, you know, Contact a few years ago had a really great photorealistic, you know, entrance from the edge of the galaxy onto Earth.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about the music and all that.
Oh, yeah. The moment you hear the John Williams music.
The nostalgia factor.
Yeah, it was like, whoa, hey, this is special.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. You know,
were they trying to say that that was Krypton? That they
right.
zoomed into that then exploded?
Yes.
So, you know, I thought they were trying to imply that, but I wasn't quite sure. But once it exploded, I was like, whoa!
I was on board the beginning of the movie, and I stayed on board. But some people are complaining the movie was a little too long. And I tend to agree with that. I think the movie would be a lot better if it was maybe 95 minutes, not 2 hours and 36 minutes or whatever it is. It is a little too long. Let me just skip to towards the end. It did start to feel Return of the King-ish. Like, oh, is it going to end yet? Or is it going to end? But, you know, they had a lot to say. It's obvious to me that Bryan Singer loves Superman. He loves the Superman mythos, and he wanted to tell a grand story, which he did. Some elements of the story were not too grand, which you were saying, Bill, right?
Well, they try. It's like you said, the direction was grand. It was there was a lot. I hate to even use the word scope.
Right.
But it was. It had a large scope.
It yes, was, it did.
It felt big. You know.
Yeah. Huge.
But you had the opening, and then it came to the second act, which was basically Luther and his endgame.
Right.
And everything from the beginning of Luther, the introduction with him in the room with the dying old woman, you know, and then his sleaziness was just great in the movie. I mean,
they built him up really well to be a scumbag and also a charming scumbag, you know.
He's lost the goofiness, and now it's been replaced with this real cynical nastiness.
Right.
And I liked it, but
yeah,
there wasn't enough of it.
He disappears for part of the movie, it seemed like.
Yeah, but the land grab, the main thing, which is basically a rehash from the first, the Donner Superman.
Right, basically what Lex Luthor's grand scheme is, you thought was a little weak, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it's like, I'm not sure, I can't really remember, I think it was his plan all along, but then once Superman showed back up, he decided, well, I'll get some kryptonite and then merge it with a crystal and then create like a kryptonite landmass.
They even mentioned Clark wants to know, hey, how did Lex Luthor get out of prison? And he says,
yeah, that was good. That's one of the scenes. I hate to interrupt you, but that's one of the scenes that they did really well because there was a lot of really terrific humor in the movie. Because Jimmy Olsen mentions about Lex Luthor getting out of prison. And he says to Clark about how Superman wasn't there to testify, so they had to let him go. So it, like, brought the whole reality into the comic booky thing.
Superman never showed up to court to testify, and it basically got him out of prison.
Yeah, and then Jimmy Olsen said, I bet you that really makes Superman angry. And the way Brandon Routh delivered the line of, yeah, I can imagine.
And can I just say this? I thought the Brandon Routh, however you say his name, did a great job.
He had the charisma.
He was Superman. I just viewed him as Superman and Clark Kent. He did a good job. You know, sometimes you read other reviews, and sometimes you might even have that in the back of your head. I heard people said he's not that good. He's a little stiff. He doesn't speak much or whatever. He was great for what he was to me. He pulled it
off. That's Superman.
He pulled off Superman.
Superman is stoic. He was a symbol.
Superman is this character that's larger than life, and they did a great job of doing that. The scope of the action scenes, there's a great airplane rescue in midair thing that happens, and that was incredible. The Superman flying effects were really cool. They do this cool sonic boom when he's flying real fast.
That I love.
That was awesome.
That one scene where he took off into the sky and you saw the sonic boom develop around him.
That is so sweet.
It was like, that is cool.
We have a clip here of Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor. Let's check it out.
Do you know the story of Prometheus? No, of course you don't. Prometheus was a god who stole the power of fire from the other gods and gave control of it to mortals. In essence, he gave us technology. He gave us power.
So we're stealing fire? In the Arte?
Actually, sort of. You see, whoever controls technology controls the world. The Roman Empire ruled the world because they built roads. The British Empire ruled the world because they built ships. America, the atom bomb, and so on and so forth. I just want what Prometheus wanted.
Sounds great, Lex. But you're not a god.
Gods are selfish beings who fly around in little red capes and don't share their power with mankind. No, I don't want to be a god. I just want to bring fire to the people. And I want my cut.
Now, Ron mentioned in his review last week that there's a lot of nods to homages paid to previous Superman movies and TV shows. There's the old Jimmy Olsen, Jack Larson as a bartender. There's even the old Lois Lane. They even have a nice picture taken that's an homage to Action Comics number one. I loved all that stuff. I thought it was really cool, and it didn't take away. There are shots in this film that I know that the director laid awake at night coming up with in his head. He dreamed about these shots in his head. Some of the shots are so incredible, the way they pan out. I think they're awesome. there were scenes in this film, the shots of Superman in space and
so like the
coming
guy
through
for,
the clouds.
X-ray, they were just kind of doing it by the numbers.
Yeah, this felt incredible. It felt like basically Bryan Singer had thought about this for a long time, and he had a canvas there, and he, not to sound pretentious, but I do anyway, but he really wanted to get his love of Superman through, and he did. But unfortunately, I think part of the problem with that is that he needed to be reined in a little and say, okay, we know that you really want to do this, Brian, but we're going to have to cut the film down to 95 minutes, and then we'll release a director's cut that's 2 hours and 35 minutes.
He doesn't do director's cuts. He doesn't do extended editions. He just doesn't do that. In fact, he had more scene shot, including the one where Superman travels to Krypton, and
right.
It was cut. But I agree with everything you're saying. The scope, the direction, the sound, the effects, everything tremendous, top-notch, couldn't get any better. I had problems with the writing. I thought it was a little lazy in that I just didn't feel like there was a real threat.
Right, and that is a big problem with Superman to begin with, that we were talking about villains. Superman has a lot of lame villains. He has some good villains, like Brainiac, but the problem is that it's someone as powerful as Superman, it's hard to have that danger effect. You have to always bring kryptonite into it, of course. Mm-hmm. Kryptonite, and he has to be vulnerable in some way to save the day still.
There were little things throughout it that really annoyed me, like, okay, Lex Luthor goes to the Fortress of Solitude. He finds the crystals, the knowledge, Marlon Brando, all that stuff. He says, tell me everything. He knows everything there is to know, and yet he still goes along with creating an inhabitable island in the Atlantic? I don't get it. Why?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Maybe island would have become habitable eventually. That's what I was wondering.
After maybe a million years.
It seemed like a really dreary place.
Set up greatness.
Right.
Like there was the beginning of the movie was like, okay, Lex Luthor's back, he's pissed, now he knows everything, he's stolen Superman's crystals.
Do you think it would have been more interesting that his whole plan would be how to get revenge on Superman and how to kill him instead of the
Absolutely.
Whole land deal? Yeah, they could have done that. We're talking some spoilers here if people haven't seen the movie, but it's not anything huge.
We're not
going
to get into the huge ones.
But
it's
I'll
not
tell
gonna
you,
happen.
There's parts towards the end with the Superman flying into space, pushing the thing in, and I thought it was totally freaking cool, didn't you?
You know, I thought it was cool, but I also thought, I thought, like, this is it. This is, you know, I thought it was cool, like, what's he going to do? He's got to go back. You know, and then it shows him use the heat vision and go underground, and I was like, hey, you know, another kind of Donner nod where
And I
Superman
like the use of heat vision, too.
Yeah, the heat vision was cool.
They showed Superman saving regular people a lot, which I thought was cool. They even showed quick news clips where they would have someone caught him on a camera phone or, you know, I thought that was cool how they played into, like, today's technology. But also, the thing that I really liked is how Superman... They have this great scene where he flies out of the atmosphere and he just sits in space and listens to everything that's going on the planet. And he singles out something that's going wrong and he flies, you know, faster than a speeding bullet to save somebody or to stop something. I thought that was really cool, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think the best thing about the movie was the humor.
Right.
There
was a lot of good
plane after he saves all these people from imminent death. You know, on this plane, and he lets it down and gets in and says, is everyone okay? Are you okay? You know, there's that little moment exchange between him and Lois, and then he goes, you know, statistically, flying is still the safest form of travel.
Yeah.
That was just great. That had me laughing so hard, and it was just so promising, and then to get that Lex Luthor storyline to be so incredibly disappointing.
Right, it was building up to something. I thought it was very interesting up to...
It could have been great. It could have been terrific. It could have been amazing.
Right.
And I didn't even have a problem with the length. But ultimately, I was really disappointed. I it's like I told you, we weren't really excited about the movie for a while, you know. But I think they wasted a lot of the greatness in the trailer.
Now,
you know, if they would have saved some of that stuff for the
right,
movie,
but the airplane stuff, the magnitude of it is. in the movie. You didn't get that in the trailer, I thought.
Oh, no. Whenever you didn't even know that the fact that it was a shuttle launch.
And also Metropolis and all that stuff, things crumbling. I thought that was cool.
I liked the nods to Metropolis, and then they said Gotham and New York and all that. You know, they mentioned all the different cities. I really enjoyed the movie. It was too. I can't complain about the length. Because I was total, I was entertained.
You know, I will say that too. But I'm picking the length as one thing that maybe got to me. That if it was tightened up a little bit, it would have been that much better. And I agree with you that the Lex kind of his big plan was kind of like what? But at the same time,
the tongue in cheek.
I didn't have a lot of complaints to
the tongue in cheek ending with Lex bugged me too.
Right. Yeah. Well. That was kind of a nod to the comics, too. There was always kind of this innocent kind of... There's a sense of danger, but at the same time, there's kind of a nice little wink of, like, hey, Superman prevails above all kind of thing.
I'm gonna give this one 2.5 stars. I enjoyed it. It's a fair movie. I'll watch it again. Maybe I'll grow to love it over time.
Right. Now,
but
see...
I was disappointed.
Now, I won't give the film stars or thumbs up or anything. What I'm going to do is tell you... Will I watch this film again? And the answer is yes.
Absolutely.
Will I own it on DVD? Yes. Will you like it, Steven? I think you will.
I was a fan of the Donner once.
Now, I'm a fan of Superman in the comics, and it made me feel like that. This is Superman from the comic books come to life. And maybe it's a pacing issue is the only thing I could think. But other than that, I mean, I was really into it. And after the movie was over, I was buzzed about it. And I was, you know, I was really pumped up about it. And I thought it was good. So I'm going to say, you know, everyone who wants to see Superman is going to see it anyway. But I'm going to say I enjoyed it enough. Should I give it stars, Steven? What should I do?
The fact that you would see it again is probably...
I'm going to give it 3 I like to kill deers.
I like to kill deer. I like to kill deer. I like to kill deer.
That's
okay,
right.
That's 3 kill deers out of how many kill deers?
I don't know.
I would say 5 kill deers.
3 out of 5 kill deers.
That's right. So that is Superman Returns. You may hate me and Bill. You may love us. We'll see what you think.
I'm going to see it.
I will comment, though. I don't think it's going to make Spider-Man numbers.
I think it'll make a lot of money, though.
Only because it's very adult.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't tailor to...
That's another thing about the pace. There was a lot of little kids in the theater, and I could tell there was parts where they were like getting pretty bored. Because there's a lot of stuff about unrequited love between... You know, they're probably like, give me a break. When's Superman going to fly faster than a speeding bullet? When is he going to fly into an exploding thing or something?
I gotta say something about Kate Bosworth, though. She wasn't right for Lois. She just wasn't right.
I didn't really have a problem with her.
She was okay. She was good.
Yeah, she was fine.
She wasn't right.
I had no complaints about any... Even Parker Posey, who sometimes gets on my nerves, I didn't mind her in this. I had no real problems with the cast.
I liked... You know who I liked the most in the entire movie was James Marsden's Richard White.
He was great. I will say there are more positives that outweigh the negatives for me.
The main negative outweighed a lot of the positives for me.
Okay.
So I would, you know, that's my review.
You know, I mean, what are you going to do? That's how you rock them, you know?
That's how I rock them.
All right, guys, let's check out what's on your TiVo! Now, before we get into our Mulberry News Break, Vanessa, you watch the show called The View every day on ABC. And
I've never seen this show.
You were talking to me about how upset you were over the Star Jones thing, and you really wanted to talk about it on the show. So I'm going to let you talk about this now. What's going on with that?
How the hell would I?
It's Star Jones Reynolds.
No, here's the deal. Star Jones...
Reynolds.
Star Jones Reynolds. She's married to a flamboyantly effeminate gay man. She was...
Big gay Al Reynolds.
Basically, what was going to happen is she was going to leave the show. And she left the show. What I heard is they were taping the show, and she decided to leave during the show, is what I heard.
No, she made her announcement during the show that she was leaving come July 13th.
Right, but she kind of did it in a way where she was saying that she was being done wrong.
She threw everybody under the bus.
Right, she threw everybody under the bus. She went on the news where she was telling them basically how she was being treated. Am I right, Bill?
Yeah, she was being a real C-word about it all.
Now, Barbara Walters was like, I'm not playing that. So she was on the show the next day, and she gave us this announcement, because Vanessa was really concerned.
Yes, this is, fine. Truthfully, a very difficult day for us, and it's a sad day for us. If you were watching the program yesterday, you would have heard Star announce that she's leaving The View and will not be on the program next fall. We didn't expect her to make this statement yesterday. She gave us no warning, and we were taken by surprise. But the truth is that Star has known for months that ABC did not want to renew her contract and that she would not be asked back in the fall. The network made this decision based on a variety of reasons, which I won't go into now.
Oh, come on.
But we were never going to say this. We wanted to protect Star.
Using a little class.
And so we told her that she could say whatever she wanted about why she was leaving, and that we would back her up.
Sorry.
We gave her time to look for another job, and we hoped then that she would announce it here in the program and leave with dignity. But
nope.
Star made another choice.
Yes, she
and
did.
And since her announcement yesterday, she has made further announcements.
Credo made this clip for us from the trunk of his car.
So it is becoming uncomfortable for us to pretend that everything is the same at this table. And therefore, regrettably, Star will no longer be in this program.
Yay!
Except for some shows that have been pre-recorded.
Oh, okay.
The View helped make Star a star. And Star helped make
Are you sure about that?
The success that it is. And we will never forget that.
Is she a star?
We wish her well in this new chapter of her life.
Man, stars. You get labeled a star easy these days, don't you?
That's a huge bitch.
Star's gonna go supernova.
Yeah, so Star is gone. And I used to sometimes before work flip on The View because I would laugh at it, these friggin', you know, yentas, for lack of a better term, just talking about crap that men don't care about, essentially, is what the show is. Sometimes they have a guy on there, you know, and they kind of surround him in, you know, it's like being a room full of cats that are all just like in, you know, running around like, you know, throwing shit at each other like monkeys do. I don't know. I got no analogy here. You know,
what was
sorry.
That male version, it had like Mario Lopez.
Oh, Jesus.
Remember that? What
the
was that?
The fact that you remember that is horrible. It was it was Dick Clark. It was Danny Bonaducci, Mario Lopez.
Just thinking about it.
And some black guy who was a doctor.
Just thinking about it, man, that show was horrible.
Unfortunately,
that show was
The Male View.
That show was shit canned fast. But anyway, back to the genius of The View.
It was called The Shit Can.
Is Star Jones was going to marry this flamboyantly effeminate gay man, and that's all she talked about on the show is her friggin' she was going to marry this guy, right?
And then she started talking about companies that were going to
sponsor
her wedding.
Right. And what happened is there was just too much Star. She got a little full of herself, and she's lost all this weight. And she does not look healthy to me.
No, she looks like she should be fat.
She's got these bug eyes popping out.
The other half.
Thank you for that, Vanessa.
What?
I just remembered all of a sudden. Sorry.
The other half of Star Jones is missing.
Yeah. But I'm going to just say I'm glad she's gone. She's a friggin' wacko.
And, good riddance to annoying
someone married
bitches.
Her.
Yeah.
He's really flaming.
Yes, he is.
And now, a Mulberry News Break.
He is an 11-time DUI offender and the subject of a Carl Monday investigation. But it could be a while before Patrick Nasca, everybody calls him Bubba, gets back behind the wheel. A Summit County grand jury indicted Bubba Nasca for driving under the influence and driving with a suspended license. What's unusual about the case is that no police officers witnessed Nasca in action. The grand jury voted to indict him only after viewing a videotape of Carl Monday's reports.
Hey, Bubba, how you doing? How you holding up today? Let me ask you, how much have you had to drink today? Have you had anything to drink? How much do you have to drink?
Get that light off me.
What's a chronic drunk driver like you doing on the road after what you had to drink tonight? Huh? That's close. You can't go in there.
I bet.
You tell me. Aren't you afraid you're going to kill somebody?
California's, huh?
Yeah. I'm surprised you can read that in your condition.
Do you want me to just hit him with it or what?
No, I want you to tell me what you're doing on the road.
I'm not on the road. That's the sad part. See?
Whoa.
Look right across the street. That's where I work.
What were you doing behind the wheel?
I'm not.
We saw you driving after drinking all night.
Where?
At the bar.
Which bar?
Does it matter which bar?
You don't know. You don't even have a clue.
How much did you have to drink? You tell me. You
I'm,
tell me.
I'm a drunk guy.
Huh? You're nothing but a drunk. What are you
Excuse
doing?
Excuse me for a minute.
Aren't you afraid you're going to
kill
somebody?
Excuse me for a living?
Well, actually, yeah.
In your condition?
Yeah.
Then what are you driving for?
I'm about ready to kill you. Back off and let me pee.
Well, if you get on the road, you might
just let the man pee, Carl.
Doesn't that concern you?
Excuse me for a minute.
There's a warrant out for your arrest, you know that?
I know there's about 10 of them, actually.
Good lord.
You don't seem to care, huh?
You know what?
Who cares?
What?
I have a plan.
What's that? You tell me.
You don't have a clue, do you?
He's going to find a Superman crystal, and he's going to shoot it into the ocean and create his own drunken land.
Then his light is going to be in his eye.
Are you going to get back behind the wheel tonight?
Can I pee or not?
Can you tell me? Are you going to get back behind the wheel?
Well, actually, I want to pee.
Answer my question. I'll let you pee. Are you going to drive?
Carl, let him pee, for Christ's sake.
He's full of beer. He's going to pee.
Get out of my face.
Oh. Or what?
I'll pee on you.
You drive tonight. That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Oh, he gets a pee.
Carl Monday getting the job done.
That light doesn't get off my face. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, you got to pee again?
What, you never been drunk before, Carl?
You know what?
I'm surprised you could even stand up, you know?
I'm surprised you could talk.
What?
I'm surprised you could talk, too.
I told you, get off my face.
Get off my face.
Give us an answer now.
About what?
About why you drink and drive.
Why do you drive and drink?
Oh, yes, the good old drunk reply.
You know what?
What?
Here's the problem. You're sitting here talking to me.
Yeah.
And you want to ask me something.
You can't even stand up. You're so drunk.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's why you sit down when you drive. Can't stand up and drive.
I'm glad Carl is keeping the street safe, bugging this drunk guy. Well, if there's him, he's like, what are you going to do, pee again? He, like, laughs at himself. But this is, I love Bubba.
He has to get drunk to screw his wife.
Well, I was kind of wondering if that guy was going to eventually take a swing at him, because he did threaten to kill him, didn't he?
I would love a drunken swing.
I mean, when I'm drunk and I got to pee, just let me pee.
Now, back off and let me pee.
Well, you know, when you're drunk and you take that first pee, you know, your night's over, because you're going to be peeing all night long.
Right.
You got to hold that pee.
Got to hold that first.
Aren't you afraid you're going to kill
somebody? But he's been drinking all night, so this is like the next morning.
Yeah. I think that's the way Eugene sounded before he left that song.
He should have just pissed all over Carl Monday.
He's like, you know,
television.
I'm going to urinate on Carl Monday.
I got to get back and make a phone call to Vanessa.
I'm surprised you can read that in your condition.
So that's our news break. Thank you, Carl Monday. All right, guys. How many of you watched America's Got Talent this week?
Unfortunately, I did.
Now, the whole point of America's Got Talent, Stephen, is to humiliate people who have no talent. Am I right?
Yes.
And there was a man on there called Leonid, like the Amazing, or Leonid the Great, or something. And he had this
Magnificent. Leonid the Magnificent.
He had this crazy flamboyant outfit.
Leonodo?
Yeah, it was Leonodo the Magnificent. So anyway, he does his act, which is... I don't understand. Does he think he's become a superstar with this?
What, swinging a sword around or something?
But afterwards, of course, they buzz him, right? Yeah. They're like, what the hell are we going to do with this? And he opens his heart up to millions of people. Let's hear what Leonid has to say.
Do you remember your first edition? Your first job? Have you been perfect that time? Did you screw up Elvis and you pray like, God, give me this chance one more time. and I will do this right. For 32 years I was waiting to come on the stage and show who I am and what I can do.
Me and my platform shoes. They sparkle so keenly.
Oh, I'm Christmas tree, but somebody I can be God.
Who would that be?
Eugene.
So basically that show's horrible.
The Village People.
It's beyond horrible.
He would
it's
be the god of the Village.
Right. Now let's move on to Last Comic Standing. Now what happened this week on Last Comic Standing, Bill?
They got woken up at 3:30 in the morning just after having a night
wild night
dinner
out.
And getting drunk and all that. So they got to get up at 3 a.m. Their challenge is they're appearing on the Adam Carolla Morning Show. And there's magazines laid out on the table, one for each person. They take the magazine and they have to create 1 minute of original material, go on to Adam Carolla, and it's horrible. They're bombing like crazy. The funniest people
They're
were,
just supposed to think on their feet and be yeah. funny, basically?
Yeah, it's just not possible.
One guy got a magazine entirely in Spanish. He's yeah. like,
that he's supposed Chris to do a Moore. Bit on that?
He's like, Chris what? Moore had no idea what to do because he couldn't read Spanish.
It was
Latina Weddings is the magazine he had.
Well, how is that fair?
Yeah, and then Josh Blue got Weapons of Destruction. A couple other of them were really bad, but it's beside the point
knitting
because
magazines
it's
and
here's Chris Moore doing his act. Let's check it out.
The hell are you smelling a condom for, ladies? We got a condom on, get your nose away from it. Time is of the essence. My boy is suffocating. Y'all start asking questions, ladies. Why is he all soft? Well, he ran out of air, Miss Talky. Let's put a bag over your head and see how long you stay alert.
Now, basically on the show, before they get to the comedy, they do a lot of wacky stuff on the show, too, right? Like the belly dancers.
They do nothing, so they just goof off.
And they did some kind of...
It's like a day in the life. They follow them throughout the day of...
And they played, like, football or something?
They played...
Punchball.
What, punchball?
They played football first, and then the semi-attractive, real skinny blonde that always wears hats, I can't remember her name, thought up a game called Crotch Ball where she said that
it's always funny whenever somebody gets hit in the crotch with a ball. It doesn't matter who it is, male or
right.
female.
Well, let's check that out.
Josh, he doesn't have cerebral palsy at all, just a severe cocaine addiction.
Josh is in the building.
Well, we've been playing football that afternoon and found that it was a lot funnier to not catch the ball but put your arms down and let it hit you where it may. The rules of crotch ball are simple. We're testing a theory that it's funny when anything
get up, pack it
gets
in.
Hit the
Let
crotch
me begin.
With the ball. He gets 5
I love the music on these reality shows.
I think Alan Thicke does the music.
He's got a feeling
of crotch. I knew
three,
he was making a living.
Two, one, contact.
So who do you got? Who's your favorite on there? Josh Blue?
Easily. Yeah, I think Josh Blue and Chris Moore are the two funniest guys on there.
I think Chris Moore is funny. I like his voice. I think he's funny. You know.
Yeah, Bill Dwyer was finally voted off. He never deserved to be there. He's not funny. He does the same material over and over again.
I've seen him around for years. On
he's on Game Show Network. He does a lot of game shows.
He should stick to hosting stuff because he's not funny.
Let somebody else write his material.
Now, what about Joey Gay? Did you like him?
See, I like Joey Gay, and I was really shocked that he was voted off. I thought he had a really good stage presence. His material wasn't the best, but he made it funny.
The guy was gay.
And I was just really shocked that he was voted off this week. He was much funnier than... the leather-face lesbian.
See, I thought Joey Gay started off kind of weak on his presentation this week, you know.
He started off weak because he used the same, you know, I didn't come up with the last name thing.
And he was yelling, and then finally towards the end he started softening up and actually started talking. It sounded like he didn't get into his groove fast enough to be funny. And that was part of his problem. He couldn't get into his groove quick enough, and that was part of his problem for me.
What annoys me about that woman, the one that was still there, the old lesbian who has a face like Edie Falco, she's just not funny. Everything about her is New York. New York. I was in New York. Hey, I was in New York. It was like,
she's,
you know what,
very
honey?
Flamboyant.
You know, sometimes I have a problem with female comedians. Some make me laugh. Some just don't. Vanessa, now you're a woman. Do female comedians make you laugh generally?
It depends. There's some, like certain Margaret Cho jokes make me laugh.
Oh, good Lord.
No,
Margaret Cho and Elaine Boozler need to be dumped off somewhere.
Elaine Boozler?
That's a reference
going through
from the
time
80s.
Time war. Margaret Cho will make me laugh sometimes. My wife loves that. Right.
Yeah, she's not my favorite, but there are some things. Sometimes she makes some pretty funny jokes. It's kind of hit or miss. But
now, the female comedians on this show, do they make you laugh?
No,
they're pretty bad. Okay, let's move on to Hell's Kitchen. Gordon Ramsay, I thought, was going to have a heart attack on this episode. Let's check it out.
Keith, move that fat stomach.
I didn't want to run back, so I kind of jogged and then I walked a little jog.
And that's just how Kay Grease rolls. Stand by. Two duck, one tortellini, one turbot.
45 minutes into dinner service, and Rachel has managed to turn out appetizers for just 6 tables. Now, Virginia and Sarah must work together on the entrees.
How close are you to the turbot and the tortellini? I'm ready and waiting for your call. Can we start bringing these plates up? I'm ready. Okay, where's everything else?
Where's the turbot?
Chef.
Heather's going to win this show, right, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
She didn't even start cooking it.
She did start cooking it, Chef.
So now you want to start lying to me.
I'm not lying to you, Chef. She said that she's ready when I am.
Okay, so where's the turbot?
Whoa.
In my hand, Chef.
She hasn't even got the turbot in. Now you're trying to pass the buck. And everything you just told me confirms my suspicions. Hello?
That's
about you. You're not here as a team member, are you?
Yes, I am,
You're out
Chef.
For yourself, aren't you?
No, I'm not,
You're
Chef.
Here to screw the rest of them and get your little rest and sit pretty on.
No, I'm
so
not.
So where's the turbot?
Sarah didn't speak up and say, Chef, I did tell her that I was ready. She should have at least spoken up and said something.
Was she getting screwed here?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
That girl. Ready whenever I
threw her under the bus.
Tortellini. I didn't
that girl just messed her up, yeah.
Virginia wants to say, well, you up that turbo. And it's like, yeah, well, so? Chef Ramsay can't stand you right now. I don't necessarily see that as such a bad thing.
The blue team.
Yeah, she's the saboteur.
Most of their appetizers, with one ticket remaining.
And she's got no talent.
With the spaghetti.
Yeah.
And now it's all
she's
up to
deli
Tom
man
on the meat station.
How long? 7 minutes, Jeff.
She makes
seven
a hell of a sandwich.
Quail. Oh, no.
Quail's got a rest.
The quail's not cooked. Hello? What time do I call out the order?
Donkey!
Service, please. Where's the Wellington?
This was a little too pink.
Oh, no. Oh, come on. It's a little too pink. Keith.
4 minutes, Jeff.
4 minutes to window. Thank you. Tom. Do you realize what's going on in here?
Yes, people are communicating.
Yeah, that's right. First thing you turn around and says, Chef, 4 minutes to the window. You?
A little pink.
What line of communication is that on? This order here, 7:35. Hello? Stop! Hey, listen, stop! Come here, you. You idiot. Me, I'm adding up. What I'm trying to tell you in your eyeballs, that the quail is spaghetti now.
Right.
Yeah, and you're putting the quail.
No, I have the ones there.
That's for that order there!
Holy crap.
You're not bothered, are you? Doesn't hurt, does it? Doesn't
no, it does. I can't yell. Can't cry. All I have to do is I gotta do it.
Oh my God.
I went to Eugene on the show.
You're cooking in a burnt pan, you Oh my God. Leave it. Leave it. Leave it. Just leave it. They're gonna blow fire in your face, you donkey. Yes, Chef. Get on the meat section and stay next to him and don't let him cook a thing. And you, open those big eyes and watch what the this guy's doing.
Yes, Chef.
Shut it and watch.
Yes, Chef.
Shut it. I've had enough. I cannot believe you're actually attempting to win a restaurant.
Now, did Gordon Ramsay drop dead after the episode?
Oh, you thought his head was going to explode.
That Sarah girl better not win because she is a bitch.
There's no way in hell she can win because in the end of it, remember the end of last season, they have to basically serve an entire meal to people that are going to judge it.
Right.
And she can't cook. She doesn't know how to cook.
Is there any... Now, I've just watched a little bit of this show. You guys watch the whole thing. I can tell that Heather's going to win unless she screws up.
Unless she just chops her hands off.
Now,
Heather or Garrett have it in the back.
Does Gordon Ramsay let people get sabotaged? Does he step in and try to...
Well, obviously. No, he didn't know that.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't see that. Like,
he will know this Monday, won't he? He will have watched what happened.
I don't know. I have a feeling he'll know this Monday.
I would hope.
So basically what this season will be is I'm whittling everyone down to either Heather or...
They whittle it down to two people.
Right.
It's going to be Heather and Garrett.
And then they run a kitchen.
And the rest of it is just Gordon Ramsay trying to stay alive from him not having a heart attack over yelling
and
screaming.
Garrett's a sexist pig.
Well, Garrett spent how many years in prison? You know, it kind of comes along with the territory.
Jeez, I just want to smack him, though.
I mean, come on.
Come on. It's a little too pink. Come here, you idiot. Meow.
I like how he says, idiot.
Idiot.
I just love when he calls everybody donkey.
You donkey.
I always wait for Eddie Murphy to pop in and go, I'm making waffles.
God.
Yeah, donkey!
Donkey!
All right, Entourage. You know, last week I was talking about how on Entourage, everything, it's kind of a happy show. They're always having fun, getting laid, getting drunk, having a good time, just spending money. Well, this week, they kind of throw a monkey wrench into the works with this guy who was part of their entourage back home before Vince was rich, named Dom, the Dominator, shows up. He's fresh out of prison.
Right.
And at first you're like, man, this guy's kind of loud and obnoxious. I don't really like him. But you realize this guy's not going anywhere. The reason he's here is because he knows they got a good thing going. And
he also knows that he's going to be protected by Vince no matter what.
Because
no matter what.
Apparently, this guy was arrested holding Vince's stash of pot. And that wouldn't have been a big deal except that Dom chose to punch out the police officer and got put in prison for a number of years. So now Vince feels responsible, which he shouldn't. Now, there's this ridiculous scene where he gets a call girl and he's having sex with his bedroom door wide open. And they're all like, what the hell is going on? And he's in there having sex. Then he's walking around naked saying, hey, I got used to being around naked around other men in the joint and stuff. He's just disgusting, don't you think?
Yeah, everyone's telling him to put pants on. Johnny, Turtle, Eric. And then he's just like, he's not listening to him. And then Vince comes down and he's like, hey, could you put some pants on? Yeah, sure thing, Vince.
And he's got this kind of tough guy persona where he's always punching guys in the shoulder. And, you know, he's like, hey, I'm making dinner for everybody. I'm making breakfast. And Drama's like, no, I make it. And he goes, no, I'm doing it today. And then he's like, I'm driving the car. And he's taking everybody's jobs that makes him feel important, you know, they do for Vince. And basically he's kind of elected himself to be security, too. They go to this amusement park opening. It's Aquaman the Ride. And he's like telling everyone to get the hell back. You know, get back and stuff. He's acting like a total jackass.
He grabs this paparazzi's camera that Vince knows.
Yeah. And Eric is trying to tell him, dude, he's on parole. He's got to go back from parole eventually, right? And if he doesn't have a job, he's going to eventually have to leave.
Right.
And then Vince is like, I'm thinking of making him head of my security. And it's like, no, bad idea. And I was even hoping, I hated this character so much, I was hoping by the end of the episode he'd be gone. But it looks like this might be an ongoing problem they have.
It's like you said when we were talking after the episode, this is going to be the tension for the season. It has to be.
Right.
Like, yeah, they're not going to set something like this up and not have it go bad.
Most likely, he's going to do something to probably go to jail again being a security guard or something. You know, security.
Well, they even show that he hasn't changed a bit because they go to the store just to get gas and pick up some junk food, and the guy is shoplifting.
He steals a candy bar, in which every time Johnny Drama gets near anyone,
he's like, he tells everybody. He stole that candy bar, you know, he stole that candy bar, right? He's telling everybody. And the guy, you know, he could have gotten anything he wanted. Vince, it's on Vince's tab, but the guy still feels compelled to steal. So that's definitely going to come back.
What's going
to
get him?
As many places as they go with rich people and stuff, you can't tell me this guy isn't going to get into trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they even show, like, scenes the next week where, you know,
stealing a Ming vase at somebody's house.
He doesn't like anyone talking about him. He's wearing a tank top, and Ari's like, what, you couldn't afford a whole shirt? And he's like, What the hell did you say, jerk off? Like, he's going to kick his ass. Like, whoa, damn, boy. He's got that fake front, you know, like he's going to kick your ass. And who knows? Maybe he would. I don't know. But he's definitely a hothead, and he's scary, I think, basically.
I can't believe that I'm starting to actually enjoy this show.
It's not a bad show. I mean, it's entertaining.
See, that's the thing I like about it, is that each episode I've watched so far this season has been, like, light and funny and... there's no real heaviness to it.
Right.
You know, you can watch it for 25 minutes and just be like, you know, it's just relaxing to watch. It's fun. It's like you're part of this group. It's written really well. These characters are done really well. There was word this week on the Howard Stern show, Artie Lang, one of the guys on the show, has been hired to do a...
cameo.
Role. No, not a cameo. He's actually playing someone on the show, and they're shooting it the end of July.
Oh, cool.
So he's going to be involved in something near the end of the season, I'm guessing.
I can't wait to see what they do with Dom, the Dominator, because it's obvious everybody's kind of scared of him at the same time.
Yeah. I can't help but think that Artie Lang is going to have something to do with the
Dom
character.
Because
Artie is a very, you know, big Jersey guy.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think of him being like a bookie looking to collect on Dom or something.
Right.
You know, I just think
that. What if it's another dude that got
really
out of
good.
Prison coming to get him?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you can read that in your condition.
Okay, before we move on to the news, Big Brother 7 is coming back next week. Now, Vanessa, you must tag this on your TiVo. I want you to watch Big Brother along with us, all right? Do you think you can do that? It comes on Thursday. Look on your TiVo, tag it, season pass it right now, okay? Well, not right now. Wait till the show's over. But Big Brother's starting. They're going to let us know how many people are in the house. Bill, I heard the rumor that there's not going to be 12. There's going to be 14 people in
the house. Yeah, I heard that too, that there's going to be 12 All-Stars and 2 new people.
And definitely when this rumor happens... that it's usually true. They throw it out there.
The rumor was created because I guess during the show where it covered all the people, you know that wall where they have all the pictures, where they, you know, hang up whatever whenever they leave, they like
yes.
black it out or whatever. I guess there were 14 frames.
Ah, just a kind of a little hint, right?
Yeah. So the obsessives really picked up on that.
Right. Well, what I think that to gear up for this, we all need to just watch it. Bill, Steven, you're going to watch it too, right?
Yes.
So next Saturday, we'll kind of cover what happens, the people that are in the show, and then that way we're all fresh with Big Brother. You don't have to have, you know, some people think, oh, this is All-Stars. I need to have watched previous seasons. I don't think you do, really.
No, not at all.
You'll get the idea of what kind of personalities they have over time. And plus, it won't matter because all these people haven't played the game with each other.
If you watched it before, you're just going to already know what these people's personalities are.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's all it is. But when everybody gets together, you know, different personalities are going to act differently anyway. So
exactly. No, I know
what you signed up for my Big Brother Super Pass.
Sweet.
For the season. So I'm ready.
So we will no longer have a life coming next week. So no. The shows will start being late.
Even less of a life.
Yeah. Yeah. The shows will start being really late. And you guys won't be able to reach me for a while.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
Want to get hosting for your podcast? Let me rephrase that. Want to get hosting for your podcast without paying a bandwidth bill? Then make the switch to SwitchPod.com. Take a look at SwitchPod's free podcast hosting, free to you and a small ad in your feed. Or you can get a premium ad-free account for as little as $3 a month. You're happy? We're happy. Switch it over and switch it on. SwitchPod.com. Podcast hosting the way it should be.
Vanessa, you ready to do the news? All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
Fateh Muhammad, a prison inmate in Pakistan, says he woke up last weekend with a glass light bulb in his anus.
Whoa.
I just woke up this way, Doc. I swear.
Wednesday night, doctors brought Muhammad's misery to an end after an hour and a half operation to remove the light bulb. Thanks, Allah, now I feel comfortable. Today I had my breakfast. I was just drinking water and nothing else, he said. We had to take it out of intact, the doctor said. It had been broken up in pieces inside, and it was a very complicated situation.
Damn, dude. Look at that chunk, dude.
Look at that chunk of light bulb.
Muhammad, who is serving a 4-year sentence for making liquor prohibited by Muslims, said he was shocked when he was first told the cause of his discomfort. He swears he didn't know the light bulb was even there. When I woke up, I felt a pain in my lower abdomen.
Did he just sit on it on accident?
He was asleep, and I guess he's saying someone put it in there in his sleep.
No, he shoved it up his own ass.
He says, I don't know who did this to me, the guards or the other prisoners.
Yeah.
The doctor treating Muhammad said he'd never encountered anything like it before and doubted the felon's story that someone had drugged him and inserted the light bulb when he was comatose.
Those wacky guys always playing jokes on me, shoving light bulbs up my ass.
I think he'd seen one too many Adams Family Uncle Fester with the light bulb in his mouth. He was trying it the reverse.
Yeah, it was a methane-powered light bulb. He was trying to see if he could light it.
He wanted to read. All right, a woman living in Germany auctioned off her red Ferrari Enzo sports car and including a little extra in the package herself.
Whoa.
The 26-year-old woohoo! Bid on internet auction. The 26-year-old has invited bids on internet auction site eBay starting at $1.6 million American dollars. She said she was rich herself, liked her car, and was looking for a man who could foot the bill for such a luxury. Only a millionaire could afford such a car, said the woman, who gave her name as Layla, and says she once worked as a singer in Syria. I want a man who doesn't like me just for my money. Layla said she would meet with interested bidders, but would need to see the bidder's passport and proof of income. No bids have yet been made in the auction, which ends in 1 week. Yeah.
Come on, it's a little too pink.
Okay.
Is that a bad thing?
If she's
if it's raw, it is.
I could give it.
All she needs is a light bulb. All right. A salesman tried to fleece a money exchanger in the United Arab Emirates by using an identity card bearing the picture of Hollywood heartthrob Brad Pitt.
No.
The Gulf News said the 29-year-old Jordanian had been told by his brother, who worked at the Dubai Money Exchange, that more than $23,000 in cash had been transferred to the bureau for a client who had not picked it up for more than 3 months. The Jordanian then forged an ID using the client's name and a picture of Brad Pitt. He hoped his brother would then be able to hand over the cash and keep a photocopy of the fake ID as record of the transfer. The man was arrested on a tip from an informant, told the police when he was caught that he did not know whose picture he had downloaded from the internet.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't even have a clue.
The Dubai's prosecutor's office had charged the man with forgery and attempted embezzlement. What the hell?
Channel 3 News, huh?
No, this isn't Channel 3 News, Bubba.
He tried to rip off the money exchange in the picture of Brad Pitt.
I guess he thought he was hot.
Yeah, he didn't realize who he was.
I'm so beautiful.
You know how I feel about that?
I could give a rat's ass.
All right, Vanessa, what else you got?
A Beijing soccer fan refused to let the small matter of his house burning down disturb his enjoyment of Tuesday's World Cup match between France and Spain. A fire broke out in this hutong in the center of Chinese
hutong
at 3 a.m. local time Wednesday.
Just kickoff, try the rest of them.
Kickoff time in Hanover and gutted the traditional courtyard dwelling. When the neighbor shouted fire, I took my little baby and ran out in my nightclothes, the white man's wife told the paper. My husband paid no attention to the danger and just grabbed the television and put it under his arm. After getting out of his house, he then set about finding an electrical socket to plug in and continue watching his game. The antisocial timing of the matches broadcast from Germany, which is 6 hours behind China, has forced some of the Chinese fans to go to great lengths to follow the action. One man even quit his job to return to his hometown so he could watch the whole tournament uninterrupted. So this has become a huge problem out there, is people going to any length just to watch freaking soccer.
Wow.
Shut it and watch.
I guess they don't have TiVo over there.
Yeah, I guess not. They need TiVo in China is what they need.
I know.
Well, hell, they have everything else over there.
Hell, yeah. They're probably made over there.
Yeah.
And speaking of Brad Pitt, police in western Massachusetts town said they had seized a digital camera with images of the celebrity couple Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie in Africa for an investigation by Los Angeles authorities. Himself. Local police, accompanied by state police and Secret Service officers, went to the Westfield home of William Keyes on Tuesday to recover a digital camera's memory stick after three photos that appeared on the internet were tracked to him. Officers then went to Precision Camera and Video Repair in Enfield, Connecticut, where he works, and recovered the camera. It still remains in custody. No one has been arrested or charged in the case, and it's still unclear who took the photos. It's an ongoing investigation.
Nice guy. Let's do it.
And we cannot comment. So, this is where I'm confused. I guess somebody took illegal pictures of them?
How are taking pictures of someone illegal?
That's what I'm wondering, because they had the Secret Service involved. So what are they talking about?
Whose pockets are they lining?
I must be. I mean, there's just three photos that appeared on the internet, so they have the Secret Service track this guy down, find the memory stick to confiscate it. Nobody's been arrested or anything.
Is Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt that friggin' important?
I guess.
They're
screw
digital,
the small judo man.
They're digital photos. You couldn't put them on some other type of.
They're already on Flickr. What do they care?
Okay, and finally, apparently Britney Spears is out to prove she's not a girl and very much a woman.
Oh Jesus! Why do they always start Britney stories by saying Britney is totally toxic or oops, she did it again? Oh, that's so clever, Mr. Ryder. You son of a bitch. Knock it off.
How about if they just stop writing stories about Britney Spears?
Good idea.
Well, look who it is. Hi, bitch.
Just days after bearing her soul on Dateline, the pregnant Pop-Tart is taking a page out of Demi Moore's playbook and bearing, well, everything else for the cover of August issue of Harper's Bazaar.
Oh, it's called copying.
I'll make sure I don't pick that up.
Yeah. The magazine confirmed Wednesday that Spears posed in the nude for the cover and an accompanying feature story and photo spread at a shoot on Thursday. Unfortunately for Harper, said photos leaked onto the internet shortly after the conclusion of the shoot and were available on various...
How did they leak onto there?
Let me show you. What is that? Ta-da!
In the images, a newly dark-haired Britney Spears strikes poses in all of her 6 months pregnancy glory. Oh. Sometimes clothed, sometimes not. You remember that photo of Demi Moore where she's holding onto her breasts and she's turned in a way?
Yeah,
from Vanity Fair.
Yeah, same kind of pose, but she's sitting instead. She's holding her breasts. You can see her pregnant stomach.
Because you don't want to see her big fat ass.
That's awesome.
Her fat ass. She's pregnant.
No, she's just skanky.
I'm surprised
like,
you can read that in your condition.
She like went from this hot pop star to this skanky
trailer
hillbilly.
Trash.
Yeah.
Where's the turbo?
Yeah, where is that anyway?
Well, as a result of the backlash, Spears apparently decided to prove that with little help of airbrushing, she could be the same Britney we once knew and loved.
No, she
except
can't.
Except pregnant. What?
Ho bitch.
That they could be the same.
Yeah. Britney's never going to look the same again, all right? She's tore up.
That's not... all women end up
she
that way.
She smacked into the wall harder than anyone else.
Yeah.
Are you saying I got fat, Jason? Is that what you're saying after I had children?
No.
Exactly. Not all women get that way.
That's not what I'm talking about. Mother's... Oh, okay. God damn it, Mother's... Okay, Vanessa, what else you got?
That's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for
You're
doing the
welcome.
News this week. Now, just hold on a second.
Now, back off and let me pee.
Thank you.
Let me pee.
All right, Vanessa, do you have to go?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually have something to do for the first time in probably almost a year.
All right. Well, you have fun and listen
thank
to the
you.
Show when it's done.
I surely will.
All right, Bill, you ready? Let's do some cult news.
Ha 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 ha!
do we got this week?
Well, let's start with our favorite person in the world.
Ah, yes.
Tom Cruise. It's Tom Cruise night at the ball game. The 4th of July just wouldn't be happening without a minor league baseball night game.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it just wouldn't be happening. The Los Angeles Times reports that tonight's California League game between Lake Elsinore Storm and the High Desert Mavericks will be a Tom Cruise-themed evening of giveaways and fun.
We're just Scientologists.
Besides giving away a Cruise bobblehead, make that a bobble couch, depicting the star in full Oprah couch jumping mode, the San Diego Padres Class A affiliate will celebrate the silent birth of Tom and Katie Holmes' baby Surrey with a silent inning. During which no batters will be announced and no music played. Silent birth, a Church of Scientology teaching, specifies no music and no talking during the birth. Other planned activities include a couch jumping contest, a Scientology information and sign-up booth, and a retrospective of Cruise's movie career.
Because that's how I rock them.
Oh, sorry, Bill. That's just great. That's good stuff.
Yeah, why not, you know, go to the game and join Scientology?
That's a great thing.
You know what? I'm going. Sounds like a good time.
Let's load up the old truck and go to cotton candy. Go to California.
We'll get some cotton candy while we're there.
Move that gigantic cotton candy. I love that clip.
What kind of cotton candy is that?
Stale.
Corn nuts cotton candy. And Steven, he loves it. All right, this one out of the... This one out of the UK, minister is guilty of child rape. A married church minister is facing a life sentence after pleading guilty to 35 counts of child abuse, including two charges of raping an 11-year-old boy. The Reverend Simon Thomas, 44, of Hythe, Hampshire, admitted to the charges in Southampton Crown Court.
You sick bastard!
Yeah, the court heard he'd used internet chat rooms to groom his victims.
Oh, boy.
Much like a monkey, where they just kind of pick at the things and eat them. Thomas, who had worked in Hythe for 10 years, has been suspended by the United Reformed Church, and disciplinary proceedings will now continue. It's funny that he belongs to a Reformed church. I guess he'll soon be a Reformed pedophile, possibly? Sorry, Edna. Most of the offenses took place during the last 3 years, the court heard. The charges against him included inciting children to engage in sexual activity, meeting children following sexual grooming, indecency with a child, sexual activity with an 11-year-old, and making indecent photographs of children. Thomas pleaded guilty to all 35 charges against him. I think this guy deserves the treatment that the wife gave the two in Running Scared.
Yeah, I think so. If anyone sees that, they know how to deal with child...
That's just so... I don't understand how anybody...
Let me show you. What is that? Ta-da!
It's just so incredibly sick. It, like, turns my stomach that somebody can even get involved in that. And to use your...
Exactly.
To use your position as a person of trust to take advantage... is just it's criminal. It's just absolutely criminal. It's sick.
Yeah,
and
it's messed
up. They get what they deserve in prison.
Here's a story from the Smoking Gun. It's titled
"Go and Eat It."
The voodoo that J Lo do.
Oh, very clever there.
Jennifer Lopez's first husband has agreed to an injunction barring him from publishing a tell-all book about their brief marriage and the couple's sex life. The order, signed yesterday by Los Angeles Superior Court judge, was sought by Lopez.
who contends that Ojani Noah, whom she married in February of 97, is prohibited from discussing her private affairs by the terms of a 2005 legal agreement. She was doing bad things to a lot of people when we were friends, and I knew all this time, because we did personally, me and her, to this particular lady, Noah added, that Lopez did voodoo and all this religious bullshit, including Sean Puffy Combs.
What?
The purported voodoo practices apparently stem from Lopez's religious devotion and the influence over her by a madrina, which is often described as a spiritual mentor for Santeria practitioners.
What the hell?
J-Lo whipping out the voodoo love.
Takes different strokes to move the world.
Yeah, but voodoo? J-Lo's into voodoo?
That's what happened to Ben Affleck.
His back problems. Oh, shooting pains in my back.
You don't even know what gay is.
Yeah, I do.
All right, Bill, what else you got in cold news?
Can we get security?
What? You don't know. You don't even have a clue.
Sex Church preaches how Jesus loves porn stars.
Huh?
Los Angeles, of course, a Christian missionary group making the rounds at U.S. adult entertainment conventions hand out Bibles with Jesus loves porn stars stamped on their covers.
Nice.
Jesus loves porn stars just as much as he does pastors and soccer moms, the Triple X Church contends. The outreach team from Triple X Church, calling it a porn ministry, distributes paperback New Testaments with gaudy purple and yellow covers reading Jesus Loves Porn Stars. Its website, billed as the number one Christian porn site, includes downloadable Bible studies and an array of prayer software, including accountability
Bible
programs designed to help users resist pornographic temptation. The Bible's text in everyday English conversational English includes this introduction from the Triple X Church. Jesus loves pornographers as much as he loves pastors, soccer moms, liars, thieves, and prostitutes. We're all just people who need God to save us from the mess we're in and lead us to a better way. They're definitely taking an interesting approach. I mean, I
that's a good way to sell Bibles.
Some credit, yeah. Why not?
I've always wanted a yellow, gaudy-looking Bible.
And that is cult news.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
I like to kill deer. I like to kill deer. I like to kill deer.
All right, it's time to do the DVDs.
That was just slightly unsettling.
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. DVDs.
DVDs! Come on, more oomph, Steven. Come on.
I think Steven's tired.
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! Thank you. All right. Pretty weak, Steven. We'll try better next week.
I had to build up.
Now, back off and let me pee.
All right, what kind of DVDs? I hope we got better than last week, Bill.
I mean, I haven't been into this lately because there haven't been any good DVDs. So, I mean, how do I sing when I'm not encouraged to buy a DVD?
I would have to say there's one good out of four. Four DVDs
sweet
are decent being released for July...
2004.
2006. Today will be our Independence Day.
For you, I'm Christmas tree.
Okay. First DVD, the new Doctor Who, the complete first series.
Ah.
So if you didn't have a chance to watch it on Sci-Fi Channel and you're a Doctor Who fan or a fan of... the hot little blonde in it, Billy Piper.
At one point, I think I had five on my TiVo and deleted all of them. I never watched it. And I heard it was great. I just never watched it.
I never
it.
Got a chance.
Even Simon Pegg was one of the villains.
I really
villains
wanted
on
to
it.
Watch it.
Yeah, Simon Pegg was in it. But the problem I have with this is it's retailing at $100.
Huh?
For
Come on.
A...
It's a little too pink.
It's five discs. Four of them have the episodes. And then there's a fifth disc with something called Doctor Who Confidential on it.
What the hell?
$100? Are you freaking serious? I'm sure you can find it cheaper online. If you use DVD price search, I'm sure you can find it for, you know, 70. But who the hell is going
to
pay 70?
I was ready. You know, I would have bought it for 35, 50 bucks.
100 bucks? Yeah. What the hell are they thinking?
I know. It's insane.
Definitely. No, it's not funny, Yoda.
The next DVD is a movie that kind of went in and went out of the theater. I didn't really hear anything about it. It's called The Libertine with Johnny Depp, Samantha Morton, and John Malkovich.
I mainly heard that it's a pretty dark movie and really hard to watch, is what I heard.
Yeah, but it's coming out, and it's got a director commentary and some deleted scenes and all the typical, you know, crap.
So he's a dumbass.
I'll probably Netflix it just to see what it's all about.
Yeah, Johnny Depp's usually good in most flicks he does.
Yep. Next DVD is quite possibly one of my favorite movies from last year.
Oh.
This thing didn't get nearly enough credit or recognition. I just love this movie so much. The Matador with Pierce Brosnan, Greg Kinnear, and Hope Davis. It's funny, it's quirky, it's dark at times. It's just a really good movie.
We covered this on, what, like episode 9 of our show? And yeah. I have still not seen it. There's so many movies that we've covered on the show where we'll play the trailer and talk about it, and I'm real excited, and I still haven't seen. I can't wait to see The Matador. I really want to see it.
Yeah, I would recommend this one as a buy out.
Ain't it,
you know, even if you haven't seen it, buy it.
You know, that's
you'll watch it over and over again.
I bought Running Scared. I got Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I'm getting The Matador. All right.
It's got deleted scenes. It's got a commentary with the director writer Richard Shepard, who just does an amazing job. His direction's great, yeah, and his script is terrific.
You don't even have clip.
And it's got a commentary with Pierce Brosnan, Greg Kinnear, and Richard Shepard, the writer director. It's got a making of feature, the business and the treatment of how he got this independent film made. And it's just a great movie. Check it out. Buy it. I'm really glad it's finally coming out on DVD so that I can delete the pirated screen
Bill,
I have on my computer.
What? Bill, I don't know what you're talking about. Let's pretend you've never said anything.
Yes.
You sick bastard!
I have to mention this one only because it was really kind of the first movie I saw
ever?
As a young... No, well, just hold on.
Oh, okay.
It was the first movie I ever saw as a young kid that, like, the woman in it was like, hey, this, you know, there was something going on downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was young. You know, you guys were what, 10 in 1983?
I can't remember.
No, I was 15.
15, okay. So I was young. I was like...
It's a long time ago. I don't remember.
I was like 6 years old in 83, let's say.
Oh, hey, Steven.
And this My Tutor.
That's a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
With Karen Kay, Crispin Glover, Matt Latanzi.
I think I watched My Tutor on one of those on-TV channels where it was scrambled trying to make out what was going on. I could hear it, but I couldn't see what was going on.
See, I think it came out in 83.
Struggling.
And I remember my dad rented it. My dad was a big renter copier back in the mid-80s. And I remember he would rent and copy stuff, and I would just go downstairs and see what he rented and copied, and I put it in, and I was like, oh, hey.
That's where you
learn
pirating.
I learned it from my father. Yeah, but that stuff wasn't illegal back then. You just couldn't sell it. You could copy it, but you couldn't sell it.
Yeah, I remember getting like two VCRs. It was like, sweet, man.
Yeah, that was the big thing. And then they put Macrovision on the tapes, and you had to get
bastards.
That Macrovision Terminator from the back of Popular Science.
this was the first movie that I really saw that interested
me in women. It's really cheap. I think this company, this Crown International, picked up a bunch of, you know, 80s B-grade movies and remastered them and put them out on DVD.
Do you think you could watch them with a nostalgia factor now and like?
Absolutely, I can watch anything
with
a nostalgia factor.
I've got one that I want to. I want to see. I don't know if it's come out yet, and I want to do a search on it called The Double MacGuffin. Do you remember this show? This movie? It came out the same year as Rocky.
The Double MacGuffin.
Yeah, it's a murder mystery where these kids in like a boarding school have to solve this murder.
Do they hide something in a globe?
Yes.
Okay, I know what you're talking
I
about.
I remember.
But vaguely, like really just vaguely. It's like my brain has put them in the wastebasket, but there's still some ones and zeros
for that
there.
Because we saw, you know.
Well, Bill, let Steven
know
when that comes out.
I know it's on DVD, but it's only in full screen. So it's not in its original aspect ratio or anything, but I don't know what the original aspect ratio was, but you know, it's out on Good Times Video.
Oh, it is. It is out on DVD.
Sweet.
You can pick it up with Cloak and Dagger.
Yes, nice. I love that. Dabney Coleman rocks. I love Dabney.
But again, my tutor, and you can pick it up for only $5.
Sweet.
I think that's probably
that'll be
they
a nice.
They can't be making money back on that. $5 for my tutor.
Nice, you know, worth it.
They're only going to make like 10,000 copies.
And that's DVDs for July 4th, Independence Day. Today will be our Independence Day.
Go ahead and eat it.
Yes, I will eat those DVDs. Thank you, Asian woman. Thank you, everyone.
For you, I'm Christmas tree.
Thank you, weird Leonardo. For us, he's a Christmas tree. I like to thank for that.
I want
to
see his act again.
This show's so cruel. Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs. Alright, everybody. That's episode.
That wasn't so hard, Steven.
See, I'm in good voice tonight. That was
thanks, Steven. Steven finally did it. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us for episode 42, Bill and Steven, and someone else is on the show. I don't remember who it was. She's gone now. Do you guys remember where she went? Who is it? But she's gone now, and thank her, too, for doing the news. If you would like to leave us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. We'll play it on the show, much like Credo. Credo is a good example. He called from a trunk. He was in a straitjacket, put in a trunk, and then dumped in the East River, and he called us from there.
And call in and do your best Super Chicken impersonation.
Yeah, Bubba, if you want to call in, we'd like
now
it.
Back off and let me pee.
Yeah, let him pee. If you see Bubba, let him pee. I think he's in prison right now. So,
damn Carl Monday.
Carl Monday locked up another person.
Ruining the life of perfectly innocent alcoholics.
This guy 11 times drinking and driving and yet had a lower bond probably set than Mike Cooper.
Now you're trying to pass the buck.
Yeah, that's what I do. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com and there you can find all our previous episodes if you'd like to listen to them over and over again. Also, you'll find a link to our forum there. Join up. Chat with us about stuff on Friday night chats at nimchat.com. And we'll just have a grand old time, guys. That episode 42. Thank you.
Me.
Now this is podcasting.